Hello and welcome to the WTM Insights podcast with me, your host, Lisa Francesca-Nand. WTM London is in its second day here at London's Excel, and it's brilliant to see business being done and people really enjoying the opportunity to network. Now, Instagram has passed the billion user threshold, and in this hugely popular keynote, it was packed with people standing at the back. Instagram and Facebook travel marketer Nessa Bannon tells us how travel brands are using Instagram and how we can all get involved.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for coming. I'm Mark Frary. I'm one of the co-founders of Travel Perspective, along with my colleague Steve Keenan, who's sitting in the front row there, who's given us a wave. So Travel Perspective, you may have heard of that name. We've been here for 8 years now, quite incredible, really. We're a social and digital consultancy working with travel companies and tourism organisations to help them share their amazing stories digitally. When we first did this, so 8 years ago, we were trying to teach people what social media was. It was still in its very early days, and people didn't really know how to use that. And it's incredible to see how far it's come since then. Back then, we didn't have the word influencer that was used so widely as it is today. So we've got a number of sessions here. As always, we always try to bring new things. And Instagram, that's what you're all here for. And we're going to get Nessa to come on stage shortly. It's been around almost the same amount of time that that we've been coming to world travel market, and it's grown enormously ever since then. It now has more than a billion active monthly users, quite incredible, and it's growing super fast as well. It's grown from 800 million just last September. And I don't know if people know this, it was originally going to be called Bourbon. Who knew that? And it doesn't rest on its laurels either. I mean, those billion users, I mean, they're always looking for new things. There's lots of competition from people like Snapchat, for example. They launched Stories in 2016. And they launched the long-form video IGTV earlier this year. And travel and Instagram seem to be made for each other. And I've lost count of the number of press releases I've received recently saying that their destination is the most Instagrammable in the world. And people keep saying that that's the main reason for people to travel to places now. I'm not so sure about that. But anyway, so we're very lucky to have Nessa Bannon, who's a travel lead for Instagram and Facebook for the EMEA region. And I'd just like you to welcome Nessa to the stage. Thank you.
Hello, good morning. Thank you very much for having me here. So Instagram, last year we launched this kind of narrative around destination Instagram, because travel and Instagram are such, I suppose, great partners, and it's basically about inspiring the performer. So my name is Nessa Bannon, and I'm the head of travel across EMEA on Facebook and Instagram. And it's an incredible privilege to be here this morning to talk to you about, I suppose, the great platform, but also the wonderful industry that we all work in, that and how the two marry together and are such a great, I suppose, a great partnership. Can I just have a show of hands at first? Who here is on Instagram? Okay, that's pretty, you know. Who here travel or follows a travel brand on Instagram? Okay, I know that's probably an easy one with the audience given. And who here has discovered a new place or location that they're interested in traveling on Instagram? Okay. That's great, but that's just a good kind of, I suppose, that we're preaching our narrative. But this is, so this Instagram feed, as we know, this is kind of encapsulates a bit about myself, my personality, my babies, my husband, but places we've traveled, experiences we've had. And I think that's really what people, you know, put out there in terms of in image form about their personality and the passions that they have in their lives. So just to kind of talk about areas that I are, these are some travel pictures. When I was kind of going through my feed, pulled out some travel pictures that are really special memories for me. And the thing is, when you put photos up on Instagram, they really are curated kind of beautiful pictures that really are from a memory that, you know, are really worth sharing. We don't generally, we do put up albums nowadays, but it's generally less kind of, it's more one special image rather than multiple of albums, which we would have in the past, maybe on Facebook. So this is, example one is, the first picture over to the left-hand side there is Rio Marina in the island of Elba off the coast of Italy. And this was just such a special place. When I think back on that holiday, it's still one of my favourite places to visit. The second picture is of a girls' weekend down in the south southeast coast of Ireland. It was in October, it was mid-October a few years ago, and it was such a beautiful day that we all jumped into the Irish Sea. And it was just one of those kind of special memories and weekends, beautiful abandoned beaches on the, say, the southeast coast of Ireland, but beaches you wouldn't find, beauty you wouldn't find anywhere else in the world, and again, the beach to ourselves, and we were still able to jump into the ocean. And there's a picture of my daughter watching Peppa Pig on her iPad, again, on a beautiful beach in Mallorca, but again, special memories for me. So I think if we all think about our own personal news feeds and what we've put up, we all have similar special images that probably relate to travel. So in the past, we used to send postcards. We used to send postcards out to people going, wish you were here. But now we've moved to this generation where it is glad you're here, because what we do is the immediacy of the platform is that we share photographs when we are in location and are able to get that kind of reaction from people there and then. Just an example, just this weekend, yesterday, I came back from, I was down with my parents. We went to a hotel down the southeast coast again, Wexford in Ireland. But it was a beautiful hotel. I'd heard a lot about it in the past and went to visit for the first time. I put up a few photographs, a few stories over the weekend, and I got three friends, inquiries from friends over just over the few days going, Tammy, is it worth it? Is it as good as they say it is? So that just shows you exactly how, like, by me putting up my photograph, I've inspired a few people to kind of think about their next trip that they're thinking of taking. And that's the immediacy and power of our amazing platform. And the thing is, why do people post on Facebook about travel? Because people are very, very passionate about travel, but they're also passionate to kind of find like-minded people. By putting it out there to your friends and family, of course they care about you and what you're doing, but actually, by putting it out there to like-minded individuals who are equally interested and passionate about travel, you get a great reaction back. And it's about unique discoveries that are not in the guidebooks and a unique perspective. And it really just, I suppose, sets the breadcrumbs for the next travel journey that happen for someone else's next travel journey. And interestingly, basically, so Instagram is about bringing people closer to people and what people and the things that they love. But interestingly, 50% of people follow non-reciprocal relationships on Facebook or on Instagram. So what does that mean? It means that people are interested in hearing from others. They're in that discovery mode. So they actually want to be inspired and in that discovery mode from people who they are not friends with or not related to. So just to talk about the Instagram, there's two ways to discover on Instagram. So there's feed, which we all know, it's been around for a long time. But more recently, as Mark has said, it's stories, which is, you know, those bubbles on the top right-hand store. But they open up into very immersive video or image content that really kind of brings people in. And they're a lot more casual in their approach. So it's, you know, it's a lot more immediate and they disappear after, you know, 24 hours. So they're just more kind of storytelling in the moment. The other thing having the feed and stories is great, but what it does is it opens up our appetite for adventure. And here are some images that have shown up in my feed over the last while that I've literally kind of gone, put that in the wish list, or, you know, bank that for another day. But this was the large image there was of a colleague from work who's, his parents live in the west of Ireland, and he posted this beautiful photograph of Glenlow Abbey in Connemara. My sister lives in Galway, and straight away it was just like, I must go visit my sister again. That's, you know, I've forgotten how beautiful Galway is. My friend currently is escaped the winter, and she's gone to Mexico on a trip, and there's a picture of some food from Mexico over the last 2 weeks she's been in Mexico, and the colours and food and content coming from her stories in Mexico is just unbelievable. I have a cousin who's a wellness, she has an amazing job, she is a wellness retreat blogger, so she actually goes and goes to these wellness retreats and kind of compares retreats across the world. And every time I see her post on Instagram, I'm like, I must book a yoga week away. So look, all of these things, these are just my personal stories, but as you can say, they're just about creating an appetite for adventure. And they're also about making memories. So the thing is that on Instagram, all of these all of these little stories add up to a whole narrative around making memories that you will have to share with others, but also to keep for a lifetime. The other thing is that what happens with these, so this is essentially what, like, I suppose, bring it back down to this is what Instagram's all about. It's a smartphone which you have in your pocket. It's a community, a passionate community of like-minded people, and they're sharing on Instagram. So with this, that it brings it all together in Instagram, and this is why travel works so well on Instagram. So passions unite people and businesses on Instagram. So as I say, it's not just about people you know, but it's also about brands that, you know, brands and businesses that are non-reciprocal relationships. But not only do you have that context, but you also have the scale. And let's talk about those numbers for a minute. The IG global community is currently 1 billion active users. So it's a massive number. And the growth has been unprecedented. It's really, really accelerated over the last while. But let's break these big numbers down a little bit. There's 500 million active passionate users who go to Instagram on a daily basis. 80%, initially when Instagram launched, people were like, oh yes, but it's a US platform. So a lot of these big numbers are US numbers, but actually 80% of the community lives outside of the US. And 400 million people are go to Instagram stories every day. This has been the biggest shift in user behavior we've seen since the shift to mobile. So it's really big. And then within that, travel is among the most active and engaged audience is on Instagram. They really, really love to kind of spend time on Instagram. So just to talk about them a little bit more, that on average, there's seven out of seven days, basically, people who are travel lovers on Instagram come back to the platform 7 out of 7 days. On average, the average Instagram user is maybe six in different categories, is 6 out of 7, but 7 out of 7 is like, so they're very, very active, engaged users. They also watch 3 times, it's 3 times more content than, they're 3 times more accounts than any other audience on Instagram. And then 7 out of 10 of them follow brands. So again, that non-reciprocal, that they're interested, they have a very curious mindset, they're interested in learning about other businesses and influencers to learn about the travel category. And they're 2 times more likely to watch video content than any other category, or than any other audience. So really, really engaged, curious audience is the Travel Insider. Also, here's another interesting stat. 1 million travel-related hashtags are searched for every week on Instagram. So again, looking for, they're really seeking out kind of new information about travel all the time. But interestingly, they're really seeking out kind of hidden gems. So there was a study done in the US from February to March 2017, so only 2 months. But within that space, within that time frame, they discovered that there was 290,000 hashtag hidden gems. So people are really trying to find those kind of off the beaten track, not in the guidebook, not beyond the obvious, unique, authentic experiences that travel lovers are. Not only are they a curious, interested community, but they also like to share and give back. So they share 56% of share photos and videos on Instagram. So it's great, again, as they paying it forward so that others can learn from their experience and make their own journeys. And within the study we saw it was like 80% of people follow businesses, but also 75% of them are willing to take an action on that. So that's swiping up, sharing with a friend, going, visiting a website, downloading an app. So again, very, very active, engaged audience. So again, for the travel community here today, really, really good news. And as I say, they're a great audience to work with. And a third of a third of video or story viewed on Instagram are from businesses. So this is not to say, because everyone thought the authentic stories format was very, very much a kind of personal one-to-one space. But actually for the travelers and brands, it's become really, really a great way to curate a kind of behind the scenes or a kind of more intimate conversation with your customers. So with that, I'd like to talk about let that little video play for a little bit. I'd like to talk about moments that matters with Instagram stories. There's 4 key moments that matter that I'd like to talk about. And it's inspiring inspiration, making memories, tips for travel, and uncovering gems. So inspiring inspiration. This is a beautiful story, stories that Virgin Holidays did about their US destinations. As you see, it's very organic. It feels very kind of casual in its approach, but they're really getting their message across about the key destinations that that you can visit with Virgin Holidays in the US. And that's really, really inspiring people to take action or to come visit their site or swipe up or, you know, visit the website. The other thing is about making memories. This is a key trend that's happening across travel about experiential marketing. So it's great to go to a place, and Airbnb have really disrupted the accommodation space, but actually what really has made them different again is their super host. They tapped into this kind of experiential, their experiential trend that's happening within travel, and went after the super hosts. The super hosts were able to give people amazing... Sorry, I didn't realise that was actually going to play so loud. They're able to give people really great in-destination experiences, whether it's, you know, going hiking or canoeing, or, you know, exactly like accentuating the experience. And they were able to do this through the stories format and really kind of evolve the Airbnb story. The other thing is tips for travel. Tips for travel is really, really important to, like, once someone has decided on where they're going in a destination, to really kind of hone in on what are the tips and the localized tips and travels. And hashtags are great for that, but also IG stories are a great way of evolving that IGTV in terms of evolving kind of localized guides. And I've seen some really great content on IGTV in terms of evolving that story. But here's just one, a photo book worldwide in terms of, you know, kind of encapsulating when you've been to travel somewhere where, you know, to evolve those tips post-travel and, as I say, pass it on to others. And last but not least, it's uncovering the gems. So again, going back to that experiential marketing, Hostel World is another example of a client who, you know, it's not just about the accommodation, it's about the experience you have in market. And untapping uncovered gems and kind of that mindset, that curious, authentic mindset. And by really targeting people on Instagram, they've seen great results on their campaigns and really kind of talking to an audience that matters to them. So there are four kind of key trends that I'd like you to think about that are really, really important to the Instagram audience. So to finish up that, this is a really, really, travel lovers on Instagram are one of the most highly active users of the platform. They come back on a daily basis, 28 days per month. They follow on average more than others. They really are, they also play on the platform. They give back to the platform. So it's a really passionate community, and it's one that you could, that it's a great, as I say, the great partnership between travel and Instagram will just continue for years to come. So Instagram is where travel adventures begin. Thank you very much.
Sorry. Thank you for that, Nessa. And I'm feeling quite smug now, actually, that one of your pictures only got 17 likes, and that's the head of travel for Instagram.
It was old. So that's old. Nowadays, you'd have a lot more.
We have some microphones. I don't know if they can wave their hand or something. But, if you want to ask a question later on, we're just going to ask a couple first, but the guys are just there. You talked about those billion users and the fast-growing nature of Instagram. Where are those new users coming from? Is it geographical? Are they young people, or is it all of those things?
It's so Instagram has become increasingly popular over the last number of years, and I definitely think probably the help with the login with Facebook has probably helped people kind of find friends more easily on the platform. And I suppose with every one person who adopts it, they've a community of friends. So it's just the growth is kind of, I suppose with any business, there becomes a tipping point, and then it becomes a mass reach product, and that's what's happened with Instagram.
Okay, and I mean, Facebook, the parent company, has had a bit of a rough time, it's fair to say, in 2018. Do you think any of that has affected Instagram at all?
It's been a tough year for across the environment, the digital environment. You know, privacy is a massive concern for a lot of companies this year, and it's something we take very, very seriously at Facebook and Instagram. But Definitely for Instagram, this has been, 2018 has been the year of stories, so it's been a very positive year for Instagram. The shift to stories has been like unprecedented growth within, you know, it doubled its growth within 6 months, and it's showing no signs of slowing down. And as I say, it's probably been the quickest shift in behaviour as to that adoption to mobile happened a few years ago. It's been that kind of that level of accelerated adoption, so it's really, really positive for Instagram.
And Donald Trump has really made us all focus on fake news, hasn't he? But if you sort of look at that in the Instagram world, there's a lot of fake news and perhaps inauthentic photographs being posted on Instagram. I mean, what can you say about that? Is that something that you're trying to crack down on, people sort of posting things that actually don't exist in reality?
I think the thing is, like, I suppose, again, I'll ask the audience, who here when they first started posting on Instagram used a lot of filters on their photos? I know I did, yeah. And probably as time's evolved and you've become more, you know, you use the platform more, stories, you know, the filters are limited. I think there's more, you probably see a lot more people going hashtag no filter if they have put up a beautiful photograph and it doesn't need a filter. So I think with everything, when the platform first came out, people played around and had very curated content. But I think the stories, the casualness of stories is kind of counter that. I do think there is a trend to kind of, with everything that goes one way, there's a, you know, it's back towards the hashtag no filter, but also like those hashtags acne is normal, you know, for, you know, to kind of normalize that, you know, people don't look like superly highly airbrushed, you know, supermodels all the time. So I think the thing is that trend is kind of, it's self-correcting in a way. So people are coming back to kind of more normal pictures, which is, yeah.
So a couple of years ago, we had the Advertising Standards Authority speaking on this very stage, talking about you know, what influencers should be doing when they're being paid for by brands. And you know, so one of the things they were saying is they were going to crack down on people unless they put hashtags like ad or spon on their Instagram posts, for example. I mean, do you have any sort of thoughts on that? Has that happened? And do people even care that something's sponsored?
I think again. But like the platform, it's evolving all the time, and influencers play such an important role within all of our communities, you know, whether it's a fashion blogger, a stylist, a makeup artist, you know, or people talking about destinations from the, like there's so many influencers across a broad spectrum of categories, and it's really, really interesting for in terms of content for us as end users, but also in terms of you know, as a marketing tool. And I think the thing is, with everything, when it initially came out, it's probably open to abuse, which may be where people were going down the kind of not, it wasn't obvious. I think people have become a lot more savvy in terms of how they understand social media and influencers working, but also actually transparency is really, really important to us. And we've come out with the Branded Content Insights tool recently. So the Branded Content Insights tool, what that allows for is the kind of, it demographizes the content that you share on Instagram. So if you're paying, and if a brand is paying an influencer to be a part of a sponsorship, that you can actually see on an insights tool in terms of the reach, you know, the frequency, the awareness levels that they increase. So there's a bit more that they can now, brands can now kind of build it into part of their media mix and actually qualify it as a legitimate form of advertising and reach, which is what people use influencers for. But also, so with that, it's not perfect, it's just launched, but it will start to kind of put a bit more rigor and control around that kind of influencer behavior. Yeah.
And I think we saw that already last week. There was a story in the news about an influencer who perhaps wasn't as influential as he said he was. So maybe that tool will help that. But I know there were some questions in the audience there. Do you have your microphone now, if you just want to pass that down? And the rest of you will be thinking what you can ask Nessa.
Hi, my name is Max. I run the Nature Boys, and we help people grow on Instagram, actually, in the ecotourism niche. And my question was, how do you handle negative messaging that's going around Instagram as well? So, like, things about animal abuse and, like, tiger selfies in tiger temples and all this kind of stuff.
I suppose there is... I suppose it's a platform where people will post, you know, content that's, you know, that's, I suppose, of interest to them, which is not, like, it's not something we it wouldn't be something I would support, but at the same time, it's not... like, we have the ability, like on Facebook, to report content that you find offensive or abusive, and we have a community operations team that, you know, would monitor the platforms for kind of anything that would be harmful or, you know, negative to users. So we want to keep Facebook and Instagram, I suppose, as positive a user experience as possible. But again, they are content platforms where people can post content.
Great. Yeah. I think we have another question over here.
Hi, I'm Sadia from Experience Pakistan. So I'm a relatively new startup company, and my audience predominantly is silver liners and like kind of the older customers. And I get a lot of young or kind of social media companies talk to me and say, look, you should be on Instagram, Facebook. And I am, but I always question the value and relevance it has for that silver liner audience and whether actually are my funds better used in other marketing tools. What would your response to that be?
I suppose the great thing about with the scale of Instagram as a platform, your audience are probably there, maybe not as, you know, as mass scale as maybe some younger demographics, but definitely they're there. And I think the way the world is going, people are becoming, you know, more and more digitally savvy and adopting the platforms all the time. And we see older demographics are adopting our platforms at an accelerated rate. I think using custom audience, using your database to kind of, as a really good seed audience, to start to kind of build out lookalike audiences of your database is the best place to start. Because, again, you don't have to target the whole of the platform. You can talk to and target the people you want to talk to.
Do you currently have data statistics of what does the conversion rate look like? So I often joke with the millennials or the youngs, I think Facebook and Instagram are great for window shoppers, but actually for real customer transactions, I question actually, are they useful for those tools?
Well, the thing is it travel or e-commerce or in general, are you asking? Or?
So I'm asking from a business commercial perspective that if I had, you know, I've got limited funds and I had to put together a marketing strategy, am I better using that money doing an event where I'm actually facing customer can get a you know, conversion to a sale? Or do I use those tools to go in social media window? And will I see a conversion to a sale from a like?
Probably not from a like. But the thing is, we have countless stats or countless case studies in every category of business to talk about, yes, how conversions happen from people discovering brands and clicking and converting on Facebook. We have, I've spoke to this in the past, in the travel industry, up to 80% of our business is performance marketeers. The travel business is very, very performance orientated. They don't want to spend a dollar on Facebook without it getting a return on investment or a conversion for them. So there is only so with that in mind, they're very, very strict in terms of how they spend their money and what they spend it on, and they wouldn't be spending their money with us and advertising with us if it wasn't working. So definitely we've examples in the e-commerce space of people, of brands who've just only Instagram only brands who've, you know, created their shop front on Instagram only. So it really does work. I think it's about getting your content, your messaging in terms of what your USP is and the right targeting to them. And as I say, we've countless case studies of how it's really delivered business results for customers. So yeah.
And I guess in June you launched topic channels, didn't you, in the Explore?
Explore, yeah.
Can brands appear in that? I mean, how do you decide who appears in that? I mean, you know, it's a great exposure for the influencers who get into that, but can a brand get into that?
The Search and Explore, that's it's very much a personalised feed. So again, I think if anyone in the audience showed your neighbour, if you opened your Explore tab on Instagram, both your feeds would look extremely different. It's based off what you search and follow on Instagram, and it's curated, personalised to you, like your newsfeed. So this, it's not something that's you can... you can buy into it. It's very much surfacing kind of content that we feel is relevant to you personally.
And how do you make that shoppable, though? That you know, you've got this. If you're a travel brand and you've got this amazing image, how do you then connect that to a conversion?
So I suppose if you go back to e-commerce, is always the first place where our platforms kind of build products at scale. And on Instagram, the shopping functionality has opened up for e-commerce. E-commerce is based off very much having a product, you know, where you can, you know, say if it's a fashion outlet, your address, and you can tap on it and go directly to the site and purchase that dress. That doesn't exist yet for travel. However, if we look to, I suppose, travel ads on Facebook, how that evolved, it started off with the Facebook e-commerce ads, and then we realized, going, this is a great ad unit. However, it doesn't work for travel because of all the variables that are in place with travel: dates, number of customers, you know, multiple destinations, multiple of factors that kind of feed into a travel decision. But we worked with our product teams and got a travel product evolved. So again, shopping is just launched on Instagram. I would imagine, I can't promise this, but I would imagine that it will evolve, and we'll learn from e-commerce and evolve for travel.
Do you have any more questions from the audience? Just here.
Yeah, good morning. My name is Matt, and I run Here to Travel, which is a travel website, travel blog. We've been using Instagram for a few years, yeah. And we've noticed certainly in the past year or so that growing our audience is becoming increasingly difficult. So I was wondering whether there are any plans to improve organic discovery. And the supplementary question to that would be, are there any plans to open up features that are currently restricted to those with higher follower numbers? For example, swipe up on stories.
So I suppose with again, the platform becoming busier, it's becoming hard. There's more and more brands. You're competing with more and more brands in your space and against your audience. So maybe that's why. Is it organic? It's organic followers you're talking about, yeah. So this is similar happened on Facebook in the past. So it's probably similar. It's similar happening. It's a more competitive space now because there's more happening. I suppose with that, the likes of what I would always advise customers, and again, Mark, you probably vouch for this a few years ago, I was like, guys, travel aren't adopting Instagram as quickly as they should. You know, people were very fixated on Facebook. I suppose IGTV is an opportunity. Stories, you know, there's a lot of ways. I would say keep, if you can stay ahead of the trends in terms of how consumers or how users are consuming our platforms, I think that's a really good way to kind of stay in that organic space for longer would be.
Great. I think there was somebody in the gloom over the back there who had a question as well. Just on the edge there, if they can put their hand up again. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Dan. I work on both branding and media side. And my question is, obviously, the last year we've seen a big rise in micro-influencers. And it kind of comes back to the disclosure question of you have to have a certain amount of followers to disclose the paid partnerships. And it kind of links into the last question, like these features are quite essential to kind of keep within the law of influencer marketing for both brands and the influencer. Is that something, again, bringing in the additional features for the smaller following kind of micro-influencer accounts to use?
I suppose transparency is very, very important to us, and I suppose good user, like user, end user behavior, I suppose, experience is really, really important to us. So I think we're trying to, you know, with the brand, the branded content insights tool, we're trying to kind of, I suppose, put a framework around in terms of how this can be good for the end user, good for the brands who are paying for influencers, but also good for the influencers as well. So we're trying to, it's evolving and changing all the time. So at the moment, I don't know is the answer, but I suppose with that, we will always think of our end user experience first in terms of what's good. So anything that might be, you know, spammy or kind of, you know, in any way kind of maybe deceiving in any way, you know, that's not something we want. We want, like, you know, to talk about, like, the community on the platform very, very passionate. They're like-minded people. So it's trying to keep that community really, really true and authentic, and then to give, I suppose, influencers and brands the branded insights tool, I think, will really, really help in terms of giving them some kind of a framework to get that transparency and keep that kind of trust on the platform.
Can you talk to us a little bit about IGTV and how that's been received by your audience, and, you know, whether it's the sort of thing that you're aiming that at content creators?
Yeah, so IGTV launched in June this year, and it's been great because there was, again, a trend. I suppose with so many people on our platforms, we can spot trends quickly and understand, going, this is something interesting, this is how people are consuming content, so we should really tap into this. But I think people were enjoying, like, you know, a lot of things are being built for mobile. You know, sound off initially in feed, it was sound off, 15 seconds, load your brand to the front, all those kind of tips that we were giving giving in terms of how to get your message across in a mobile world. But people actually were engaging in longer form content, and I know for myself, in terms of again, cooking, you know, like Jamie Oliver, cooking demonstrations, you know, makeup artists, stylists, bloggers. There were people who I actually would spend time and content on for a lot longer. And I think that's where the idea of IGTV came about. And there's some really, really, again, fashion were the first to kind of jump on it quickly. And they really had the great content, you know, stylists, like catwalk shows, everything. They could kind of really jump on that very, very quickly. But travel is doing a great job. I think Airbnb, What's Not Trending, they come out with those, and Culture Trip are doing some great hungerlust in terms of food orientated kind of content on IGTV. So it's a great place to explore and kind of, again, contribute to that content, because it's just evolving, and it's just at stage, as I say, it's only been launched since June, so it's just at stage where we're literally just letting it kind of see how it develops as a platform. But yeah.
And you probably saw that Snapchat have launched Snap Originals just recently. I don't know if other people have seen that, but that's really sort of them moving into funding original video content in the way that, say, Netflix and Amazon Prime have done. I mean, do you see Instagram moving into something like that, funding content creators, influencers, to create that sort of video?
It's not something I've heard internally. No, I have no visibility on that.
Okay. Do we have any more questions from the audience? We have one just here.
Hi there. My name is Farouk. I run a platform called Implausible Blog. Just a quick question on IGTV. Will we have a feature where we can upload videos that are on our phone that aren't actually filmed in the platform? So we make a lot of videos for Facebook, actually, and it'd just be nice to port it on straight onto IGTV instead of actually filming it on our phone.
Okay, I don't know. But good feedback. I suppose give that feedback in a group somewhere. Yeah.
Because I know, sort of looking at some of the travel influencers who've done that, they've actually ended up repurposing video that they've used in other platforms, particularly YouTube, and have done that. So I think that is possible.
Yeah. As I say, it's evolving. So it is something where, as I say, it's evolving all the time. And I think the more people use it, the more feedback we'll get, and we'll tweak and improve it.
Can we have a show of hands? Who's actually used IGTV to create something?
Oh, create.
And how many have actually looked at something that's been on IGTV? Yeah. Okay. So it's a growing market.
It's growing, yeah.
We've probably got time for one more question from the audience, if there is one. Sorry, I'm being blinded by the lights. At the very back there. Sorry to make you run over there.
Hi, my name is Chiamakam, and I'm from Africa. We tend to use Instagram a lot for advertising and sponsored ads. But just like one of the gentlemen in front had said, we've noticed a decline. And we see a lot of people like, but not true conversion. And would like to know, even when we sponsor ads, why does it happen that the algorithm seems to change ever so often and we don't really get any real traction?
So you sponsor content on Instagram and you don't get
real traction, and this has been happening for the past 6 months, I suppose.
And previous to that, you were, was it?
Yes, we were. So we assume that Instagram had altered the algorithms, and even when we go with the kind of audience that we had gone with in the past, we don't get any real traction anymore.
But the one thing, I suppose, from working in the travel industry for the last 6 years on Facebook and Instagram is that it's constantly evolving. So, you know, what worked 6 months ago is not going to work. So, in terms of, and that goes for your audience, the placement, the content, you know, so it very much is a test and learn platform. And what I would, I suppose, advise is to kind of relook at the audience, the targeting, the content you're looking at, really kind of, I suppose, just continue to evolve your platform, because I can't speak to specifics unless I do insights to the ads tool to have a look at the campaign, but I couldn't tell except for that using audiences you used 6 months ago, it's something you should be constantly refreshing and evolving.
Great. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thank you, Nessa, for coming to share sort of the Instagram view. And hopefully people have asked all the questions that they want to. And I'm sure Nessa will be happy to talk to you afterwards if you have a specific question. But I'd just like to ask everybody to put their hands together and say thank you for coming to share that with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening from all of us here at WTM London. There'll be another episode tomorrow from here at the WTM. See you then.